Welcome back to the Feminine Podcast. This is the official podcast of Feminine, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Jenny Beck-Esme, Editor-in-Chief of Feminine.
And I'm Dara Gass, the other Editor-in-Chief of Feminine. Today's Feminine Podcast is going to be amazing. We are going to speak with Diana Kane, owner of the Diana Kane Boutique, but most importantly, she's the designer of the Feminist Gold t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, and tank tops that were worn by speakers at our conference, the Feminine Idea Exchange 17. So Jenny, do you remember your first Feminist Gold t-shirt?
My first of three Feminist Gold t-shirts? Of course I do. You and I were on our way to SMAC in Dublin. This was both of our first SMAC conferences. We'd been invited to speak about the Feminine Project. It was still kind of in its infancy. It was probably about a little bit less than a year old at the time. And I was waiting for you at the airport. We were on the same flight, overseas flight. I was waiting for you at the airport. And I see you coming down this, one of those moving walkway things in this fabulous dark gray t-shirt with just these blazing gold letters, Feminist, right across your chest. And I was like, that is the coolest t-shirt I've ever seen. And I'm probably pretty sure that's exactly what I said to you when you arrived at where I was waiting for you. And the next thing I know, you were handing me one of my own. And I changed it into it right there at the airport. And you and I wore them on our flight. And we arrived in Dublin and we took Dublin by storm in our Feminist Gold t-shirts. It was so empowering to have that right there on our t-shirts. And it was beautiful. And it made us own that word,
right,
as we were representing everything that feminine was in Dublin.
Yeah, well, I guess for me, as a mentor, to be honest, and as somebody that was going with you internationally to talk about Feminine, there was nothing more awesome than owning it in our power pose with our superhero, you know, outfit. And for me, that was what that shirt represented. So yeah. I'm really excited to have Diana on and to talk about how she came up with the shirt and what it means. But first, I wanted, of course, to make the announcements that, don't forget, Fix 18 is going to take place October 16th through 18th in New York City. All details for the conference can be found on feminem.org. We know the call for speakers is still open and will be open until January 5th. We want to encourage anyone out there who thinks they have something to say, can contribute to the conversation, to just apply. And we are loving the submissions, and we always want more. We also wanted to plug, obviously, all the entities on Feminine, but this time we're going to talk about the Feminine Job Board, which has a smattering of jobs in emergency medicine. We actually have it searchable by all kinds of categories of jobs. So if you have any job that you would want to post, or if you are looking for a job, take a look at the job board, and you can always search it. There is a search function, actually, to search against any content, any articles that were written about the employers or the departments within Feminine. So that's exciting. So now back to the subject of today's podcast, which is our favorite F word. Jenny, what is your favorite F word?
Hands down, my favorite F word for probably in my entire life is the word feminism or feminist. And lucky for us, this timing worked out perfectly that Merriam-Webster named feminism the 2017 word of the year, which is very exciting. Merriam-Webster picks their word of the year based on probably a lot of things, but one of the main things is that they look for a word that had a major uptick in people looking up the meaning of the word. And this word specifically, they say, had several spikes in people looking up what the word meant over the course of this last year in conjunction with various things that were happening in the news. So there was a big spike in looking up the word feminism after or kind of around the Women's March in Washington, D.C. and you know, around the world last January. And then there was there were several other spikes kind of over the course of the year. One when Kellyanne Conway said that she didn't really consider herself a traditional feminist. One kind of during when The Handmaid's Tale and Wonder Woman films came out, that there was some more interest in what this word meant. And then there were lots of little kind of upticks in the looking up what this word meant kind of around this whole Me Too movement that's been taking place over the last month or so with examining sexual harassment and sexual assault in our culture. I think it's really exciting that this word has taken on this new popularity over the last year. It's been a word that's been in my family's vocabulary my entire life. I have a a hyphenated last name because my feminist parents did that when I was first born. So just let's put it out there what the definition of feminism is. It's the theory of the political, economic, and social equality of the sexes and the organized activity on behalf of women's rights and interests. And I think, you know, I saw a great meme at one point that was like, you're either a feminist or you're sexist, because feminism is simply the idea that women and men are equal politically, economically, and socially. And anything other than that is the opposite, which is clearly wrong.
So I think that I will disclose to the group that my feminist is my second favorite F word. We had an explicit podcast rating for a reason, so I'll take that. And I think that, but you know, feminism to me obviously is the belief that there's no limitation just by gender alone. And I think that for me, that's why the idea of embracing this word mattered. So I want to hold all other discussions of the word feminism and feminist until we bring on Diana Kane, somebody that I have known of for a very long time, but really only came to know in person after I don't think stalker is the right word, but I definitely like...
it might be the right word.
I want to say I like sought her out and made her my friend in the anticipation of having the feminist gold t-shirts at the Fix conference. So Diana, I really want to know what made you create a line of shirts that literally just say feminist across them in gold?
It's kind of, you know, it was just something that brewed up in me over the last couple of years. It wasn't even that I intended to make a line. It was more that I went looking for one because I had suddenly become aware that I needed to own the word. It was something that I had grown up thinking was not really so much of an issue. And all of a sudden it felt like everywhere I turned, I was seeing gender bias. All of a sudden, and I know it had been there all along, but all of a sudden I was aware of it. So the truth is I made the shirt because I wanted one and I went online looking and I couldn't find one that hit my marks. I'm 45. I wanted to wear something that wasn't just a concert t-shirt. That was, you know, nice. So I wanted it to be both eco-friendly and beautiful and something I'd actually want to wear. Anyway, I couldn't find one, so I made it. And all of a sudden, everyone wanted it. And that's just the truth. It hit a chord that I hadn't anticipated.
So when you say everyone wanted it, do you mean that like every woman in our... So let's disclose, we live in a neighborhood that probably is open to the idea of a t-shirt that says feminist. But was it women only that wanted it?
Initially, I mean, truly, it was like I made 24 because it was easier to make 24 than it was to make one. And they were sold out within 48 hours or less. I posted on Instagram and they were gone. And I just had no idea that so many people were feeling the way I was feeling. And so one begot the next. My children wanted to wear it and I have two boys and they looked funny in the women's shirt. So I made them kids' shirts and then I made unisex shirts. And it's kind of just rolled along from there.
Diana, tell me about you mentioned that you kind of grew up thinking it wasn't really much of a big deal and the word was just a word and you maybe owned it or didn't own it, but at some point you decided you had to own it. I kind of had a similar experience because having grown up in a, I would say, incredibly progressive feminist household, it wasn't even something that I really thought of until much later in my life. So can you tell me a little bit more about what that was like for you? What kind of opened your eyes to wanting to own that word?
I think that, you know, I've worked for myself for pretty much my entire professional career. So I didn't experience it gender bias in a workplace very often. And I also, like you, grew up in a really progressive community and it just wasn't something I felt like I encountered. And to be quite honest, I had ill associations with the word feminist. It felt like, you know, something I didn't necessarily want to be. It was all the hairy armpits and stuff like that. And so it wasn't something I thought about all that much. It was more, I would say, around motherhood and discovering all the imbalances around childcare and the way our country, but all over the world really, is so much of a patriarchy and the ill effects of that. I think that for a long time, I didn't necessarily think that was such a horrible thing. It just didn't think about it that much. It just was the way it was. And it became clearer and clearer to me as I got deeper into adulthood and parenthood how big a cost that is for women and how deeply unequal our society has been. So it just became time to say something. And I felt strongly about labeling myself versus telling other people what to do. So it seemed easier to just use the word to proclaim myself mm-hmm. versus making a statement about other people.
Which I think brings me to the second point, which was, and I called Anne and I said, you know, the shirts that you have that for years, right? So I had bought one already for Jenny, which we had already discussed, to empower her and me to go to give a lecture on Feminem internationally. And so we had felt better wearing the shirt. And I have a 10-year-old daughter. And when we go to the store, she always asks for a new one. Now she likes a new one of everything, but she always asks for another feminist shirt. And so first I called Diana and I said, how would you like to sell t-shirts, like to be a sponsor and to sell t-shirts at the conference? And I when I reached out to you, I was like, listen, I don't know if this is going to hit, right? I'm not sure if they're going to like it, but I know that I feel that this shirt makes me feel empowered. And I think that when we have 250 women in emergency medicine at a conference, I think they're going to feel empowered too. And I want them to get a chance to get the shirt. So how did you feel when I asked you about being at the conference, like just coming and selling the shirts?
You know, we have another mutual friend who had told me about your organization, and I've been a big fan. Because I just feel like in every professional field, we need to have women come together because they're such a minority in so many fields that if they don't know, they're like out there on islands by themselves. So the idea of Feminem existing at all is just so genius. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
So I was completely flattered, but I've never been to a professional conference like that before ever. So I just said yes, because, you know, that's a good thing to do. And, you know, I was completely blown away, honestly, by the FIX conference. It was tremendous.
So actually, I want to ask, so you had already agreed to be at the conference and to sell the shirts, to have like a table and to be a sponsor. And then we were on a call about the outfits at the conference that the conference speakers were going to wear. And, you know, whenever you have a conference of speakers, especially when they look so different, there's this like cultural shift towards everyone wearing a similar outfit. And so a lot of it is t-shirts. And I am biased against t-shirts, right? We talk a lot about implicit bias and yep. stuff like that. I don't really like t-shirts. I don't think they're that flattering in general. And so I don't like to wear shirts, like t-shirts. And we were talking on one of our planning calls about what should our speakers wear? And you'd already agreed to be a sponsor and come to the conference and be there. And I like threw it out to the group and I said, hey guys, you know, how would you feel about all of our speakers wearing a shirt that said feminist? And like, I like dropped it while it was hot. Everyone was like, wait, what? There's a shirt that says feminist that we can all wear? I'm like, no, it's a high quality shirt. It's like in gold. They make it for men. And the whole group was like, I could do that. I could do that. I could do that. And it really kind of caught on, like this idea that, yeah, we should do that. So then I called you, right? And I said, I need to order like 40 shirts. Right?
I was like, okay, that sounds good to me.
Right, exactly. And we had put it out to all the speakers and we said, you know, it's kind of like what you said about creating the shirt for yourself, right? We put it out and we said, you don't have to wear the shirt, right? You're coming to speak at a conference. We want you to be your own true self and tell your story or whatever it is.
And not everybody did.
Exactly. We're going to provide the shirt for you if you want it. And if you're willing to wear it, we'd love to have some sense of uniformity and empowerment around this word. And it was interesting because, you know, there were a couple of speakers that didn't want to wear the shirt. So not everyone did, but there was only one person that expressed concern about the shirt. And it was interesting because, yeah, exactly. Like we said about the word holding mm-hmm. weight, right? And it was a female speaker in her community. It was, I think, a little bit more, the word wasn't used or more importantly, wasn't neutralized, I should mm-hmm. say. And so she was like, do you think people are going to resent us for wearing a shirt that says feminist? Do you think that we're going to appear like we're pushing an agenda? And I was like, yeah, well, we are pushing an agenda, right? Like, an agenda, right? And, you know, and that goes back to the word being selected as the Merriam-Webster Word of the Year, right? Mm-hmm. There is an agenda behind this. And the agenda is that it's equality and that it's about, you know, all the social aspects of being female and not being a liability. And so, I think that when I told her that we were going to have that men had already agreed to wear the shirt.
In fact, men were some of the fastest people to agree. The first person to respond with their color and size choice was male.
And so I think that I think she was surprised, to be honest. Like, she was like, men are going to wear the shirt. Uh-huh. And I was like, no, it comes in like man sizes. Boy men wear them and adult men wear them. And I think that she was surprised. And it made her comfortable with the idea of wearing the shirt. And then excited about it. And every speaker got a shirt. Not every one of them wore it on stage. And sometimes you mm-hmm. want to wear an outfit that's not a t-shirt. Right. So I get that too.
Totally.
But I think that when we think about the things we accomplished at the conference, and I do want to pick your brain on what it was like to be at the conference, because mm-hmm. I'm curious, as somebody who was a sponsor, but more importantly, an observer.
Yeah.
Like what it was like for somebody not in emergency medicine mm-hmm. to be at the conference. But I think that One of the things I talk about now in unconscious gender bias is the word feminist and how much it represents the idea that women are, you know, anti-man or hating on men or all this kind of other stuff that isn't true to me. And I think that the more men that wear a shirt that says feminist, the more champions of change that we have, the more likely it is that the word loses that power.
Yeah.
And that to me,
or rather gains a new power.
It gains a new power. I mean, I feel like, you know, I looked up the word, I looked up all the, you know, because I feel like we have all these connotations that were negative potentially. And that's where I was originally coming from. And when I went to look up the actual definition, which goes back to the Merriam-Webster thing, it's about equality for people. It's gender equality. It's really not a big deal. It's not women over men. It's everybody in it together. And that seems like really a pretty solid goal to go for. It's not, it's not one more than the other. It's just looking that everybody has a seat at the table. And I don't see that there's anything wrong with that. So that's where coming to reclaim the word really comes from.
So now tell us, Jenny, I mean, how do you think Diana felt about the conference?
I think she liked it.
Diana. So Diana, what was it like? What was it like at the conference? Tell us for you.
You know, I loved it. I didn't get to sit on very many speakers, although I did get to see a few, and they were universally inspiring. I'm a generally curious person, so I love to hear about industries that I know nothing about. It's just interesting to me because there's so many worlds out there, right? But emergency medicine particularly, and from a woman's perspective, even more so, it is so visceral. It's such a real thing. And it's such an extraordinary thing. You guys go to work and save people's lives. It's tremendous without a whole lot of background information. You know, you come in kind of cold and figure stuff out. So you're problem solving all the time, which is fascinating. And from a conference perspective, it was just so seamless. Definitely. It really, truly, it felt like, didn't feel like the first one of anything. It felt seamless. And people were so joyous in being there. Felt like they were coming home in a way. So that was extraordinary. And I loved the community aspect of it, that you guys had pulled in friends and vendors and locations and people that you knew to support universally. So that was really fantastic. So I guess, you know, I don't have a whole lot of experience, but if they're like that, I would go any day.
And just to give like anyone out there who's listening, if there is anyone besides my mom and my sister actually listening, people wanted the t-shirts, right?
Oh my God. I've never experienced anything like that. That was just like, I felt like I was at a rock concert or something. And it was, you know, the 5-minute break in between. And I was just flooded. I've truly never seen anything like it. It was fantastic. And, you know, aside from like the part where it's yay, my business, it's also just so gratifying to see them go out into the broader world, because I've had so many extraordinary conversations started from this t-shirt that to think that those might be happening out there in the world beyond me is fantastic. So cool.
I think that was my favorite part about the idea that you were at the conference with us, and about one of the things that we did at the conference, I think, which was kind of expel this energy and inspiration for the people that were there to bring home to their families. And in some weird way, the shirt represented that, right? Like, mm-hmm. and they came back to their homes with a shirt or two. And there was the Changbaum family. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
Right. So there was a Kylie Birnbaum is a physician in New York, and she and brought her wife home a shirt and her new baby home a shirt. Well, onesie, I should say. And so she posted this thing on social media where it was the Changdown family, you know, is with Fix 18 or Fix 17. And it, you know, thanks for our feminist gold, you know, t-shirts. And it was like, and then there were other women who brought their sons home shirts. And it was so great to just feel like this generation of people that had been at the conference was feeling empowered around this word. And so I think that, again, for our timely podcasts that we're doing on things that are happening currently, when we found out that feminism was the word of the year, and especially for us at Feminem, it was – it's always going to be our word of the year, my second favorite F word, Jenny's first, she says, you know, but I think that it really, it shows us that we can own that kind of a word. And I think that I just want to say thank you for creating a way that we can turn that into a tangible.
Yeah. Thank you though for helping to dispel it. Cause it's just awesome to have it go out really
in the ethos.
Yeah. Out into, you know, yeah. And to sort of take the threat of it away. I feel like that was part, and in many places perhaps continues to be, this sort of that it's a threatening word, that women are, you know, demanding something beyond what we're asking for or what we're looking for, which is really just equality.
Literally, it's not the liability. We just don't want to have a liability on being female. So I will say to anybody out there that you can get any of Diana's shirts on her website, which is dianakeen.com, but that there is a link on feminem.org to the Diana Keen website, especially the feminist gold shirts.
Can you spell that for them?
Sure. Diana Keen is well, why don't you spell your own name?
It's dianakane.com.
Right. And she ships nationally, sure.
Yeah, internationally as well.
Internationally as well.
Exciting.
Although we did ship one to Natalie May out in the Gold Coast of Australia or wherever she is as a thank you for being a champion of Feminem. Right, Jenny?
Yes, we did.
And then she tweeted that. And then also, we wanted to put a plug in for next week's podcast. Jenny, what is it?
Next week's our Fix podcast is Risa E. Lewis talking about all the books that have created who she is. It's going to be fantastic. Take a listen.
Thank you. Listen. See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.